Good morning. I'm Blake Switzer, lead pastor, and I'm excited to be able to share with you again today. And we are wrapping up this series. It is called Amen, Becoming a Praying People. And I've said this many times before, if you've been with us in the past, the goal is not just to learn more about prayer. It's not just to expand our knowledge. The goal is to become a praying people. And I'm praying that wherever you find yourself in the journey, for some, they've actually told me, I came into this not really knowing how to even get started, and this helped me to get started. And others have said, I've been praying for decades, but this has helped me go deeper. And that's a good thing, wherever you are. Prayer is such a priority, needs to be a priority for us, and it was in the life of Jesus. I mean, look at how prayer characterized his life. Everything from getting up early in the morning to go to pray to staying up sometimes entirely through the night to pray. Jesus was known as a man of prayer, so much so that his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. So think about this. This is God in human flesh, Jesus, who prays like that while here on earth. What does that say about the value and the importance of prayer? And here's the thing, prayer is so powerful, I don't think we can understate it. I mean, I think about Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. God works in response to prayer. I mean, there have been missionary movements that have been birthed out of prayer. There have been revivals and great awakenings that have come out of prayer. There have been prodigal children that have come back to Christ as a result of prayer. There have been people healed and God miraculously providing. All of that because people pray. And here's the thing. I think most of us know it up here, right? We know in our brains that prayer is important. But actually putting that into practice is sometimes a little bit more challenging. We want the results that prayer brings, but we're not always willing to put in the time in prayer to get to those results. I mean, think about it like this, guys. If you see that dude walking around and he's just jacked and, you know, he's just looking good and you're thinking, man, I'd like to look like that. Or ladies, there's the supermodel, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, I wish I could look like that. But do we really want to go through the same things they go through? I mean, do you want to follow the same types of dietary restrictions and plans that they follow? Do you want to put the hours into the gym that they put into and everything else that goes into that? You know, we want the results without putting in the effort. You see somebody that's been very successful in the business world, and as a result, they, you know, have material things. They live in a nice house. They drive nice cars, take cool vacations. You're like, man, I want to be like that. But maybe not realize the hours and hours and the failures and the heartbreak and blood, sweat, and tears that has gone into getting to that point. And I wonder if we sometimes want the results without putting in the time when it comes to our spiritual life. We see somebody whose life is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. And you think, man, that is a godly person. I would love to be like that. But we don't realize all the prayer that goes into it. See, it's foolish for us to think that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own effort. We can't. And that's why we need to pray. And that is one of the primary tools that God has given us to help grow us and to help develop us. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. We're going to do it in a little bit different way. I'm going to invite our elders to come join me on stage. And I'll have the privilege of introducing these guys to you here in just a moment. But I thought this would be a good time for us to just hear the heart of these men. And I want you to understand something about them. The Bible is pretty clear about qualifications of those serving in a role of an elder. Every one of these men on the stage would be the first one to tell you that they're not perfect. We're all a work in progress still. There's no doubt about that. But I can also tell you these are men who love the Lord and they're men of prayer. And that they are pursuing God. And so I want you to hear from their heart today. Some of the things that I'm going to ask them, I'm not going to give them easy softball questions today. This is going to be really some transparency and some things that aren't real easy to talk about. And we're just going to go down the line. So I'm going to start on the very end here with Dave Dryden. And Dave, I want you to just talk to us a little bit. I know your family has, y'all been going through some challenges for a while. Your mom has been dealing with some health stuff, and it's been a very difficult journey as you've been just praying. God has not taken her home yet, and I would love for you to just share some of what that's been like, and just specifically when it comes to prayer, how that has impacted you.
Can we choose a more like upbeat
we could.
Fun topic to,
we could,
to go over? Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about my dying mom. So 2024 has been a great year for our family. We've seen a lot of prayers answered.
Yeah.
But we've also seen a very specific, just earnest prayer not. And it's my mom. My mom is 81. My dad is 83. They just celebrated a couple of months ago their 60th anniversary, which is awesome, except what my dad is having to go through and what my mom is having to go through. A few years ago, my mom was diagnosed with Parkinson's and Lewy body dementia, and we've literally watched her health decline. But over the past year, it has been brutal. She's now nonverbal, she's non-responsive, but she's healthy enough to not die. And she is aware. It gives some types of reactions, and she feels pain, the nurses say. But she can't tell us. And every week, it's just something new that's worse in this progression. This past week, it was the hospice nurse and the care nurse both agreed that she can no longer be moved to a chair. She now has to stay in a bed because of the sores and the skin that breaks and moving her and stuff. And so, it's the toughest thing to see your mom laying there and tears running down her face, but she can't talk and she can't say anything. And so that's our reality right now. And I know y'all have been praying with me for 6 or 8 months now that God would just be merciful and take her. It's a tough thing to pray that your mom dies. But what she's existing through right now is just absolutely painful to watch. And my dad is just exhibiting incredible grace. He will not, we have a hospice nurse and a care nurse that comes in during the week, but he will not give up his primary responsibility of her care. He will not put her in another place. He says, as long as I have strength, I will take care of her. That's my job. And so I was trying to think what good is coming out of this. One good thing that I see is I see my dad selfless, sacrificial, loving my mom and taking care of her. And he's like, until I can't do it, I will take care of her. In fact, he's trying to encourage us. We see him struggling and going through depression about it and having to watch his wife of 60 years pass away. And he's trying to encourage us. And he told us, he says, every day he prays that he will experience the joy of the Lord at least once before the day is up. And he says, sometimes it's when I put my head on my pillow that I get to experience a little joy. Maybe your mom actually was able to get to sleep okay, or maybe I got her to take a pill easily, because that's not easy to do. And so every day his prayer is just, let me experience the joy of the Lord once today. And he says, usually God is faithful and gives that to him. But I did ask him on Friday, what are you praying for now? Because my mom she's probably 90 pounds and can barely, she drinks protein shakes, but barely, and it's getting tougher for her to swallow. So he knows what's coming. But he's basically been praying that he would have the strength to release her and that God would take her. And so that's kind of what we're experiencing as a family. One of the things it was kind of funny. He said, he hasn't had a conversation with her for, months and months. But he did tell me this week, he says, I told your mom this week, when she goes, when I go and I get to heaven, she's to be the first one to meet me. And he says, I want her to tell me what a great job I did taking care of her. So that's, he's holding on to that. But I don't know why God has chosen not to answer this prayer and have somebody that has faithfully served the Lord all of her life to go through pain and discomfort and stuff. It's just brutal and devastating to watch. We don't know why God is choosing not to be merciful, but we trust. And I'm kind of reminded of, in Daniel 3, when the three are in the fiery furnace, and they basically said, our God is able, and he will save us. But if he chooses not to, we won't bow. And that's kind of where we are. We know our God is faithful, and he will answer our prayer. If he chooses not to in our timeline, we're still going to trust. And so It's a tough thing, but we're going through it. But it's taught us just to have to trust and that, you know, God in all of His might and power and wisdom. There's a plan for it. We don't know what it is yet, but that's the one prayer this year that has not been answered that we're still having to pray through.
Yeah, and that's a great reminder that when we just pray through and trust God through those things, sometimes when we can't see it. So thank you, Dave. Thanks for sharing that. Next to me is Ron Johnson, and kind of a similar theme, I guess, of just, you know, dealing with, I guess, grief. You've lost both of your parents, and you shared with our elder team recently that you were just hit with a wave of grief. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about just the role of prayer through that and what you see God doing in the midst of that.
Sure. So in May of 2013, my mom went into the hospital with complications of cancer. And we didn't know, you know, how bad it was at that point. Well, she never did leave the hospital at all. In fact, on May 6th of 2013, my mom passed away. And it was extremely difficult and really, really hard, obviously, for all of us. And so struggled so much with that. And I'll admit that I wasn't happy with God at all. And I'll say that because, you know, praise God that He heals people. I'm not belittling that at all. But praise God that He heals people. But God didn't heal my mom. And I really struggled with that. That was really hard for me and difficult. And mom died on May the 6th, which was a Monday. And that was the week before Mother's Day. In fact, the following Sunday was Mother's Day. And so as a son, your mother's passed away. And it was a difficult, really, really hard week. Knowing that, you know, it's a great saying that we know Sunday's coming. You know, especially when we're around Easter time, Sunday's coming, resurrection of Christ. But I knew Sunday was coming, and that was hard. So difficult for me. And so Sunday got there, and we'd gone to church and went home, and my children were there celebrating with my wife, Vicki, and Mother's Day, and here I am sitting over in the living room in a recliner, and I'm having just struggling really hard. Grief came over me, tears filled my eyes, and I just really missed my mom. So I didn't know what else to do but to pray. That's the only thing I could do. And God drew me in really close. And I remember I was looking up into the heavens and I said, God, I don't know if I'm just being selfish here, but I miss my mom. And He says, no, you're not being selfish at all. He said, in fact, I want you to know that your mom's okay. She's safe. She's here with me. And I just felt the peace and the comfort that only could come from God in that moment. And it was just a moving experience for me and just so thankful that God was there for that. So fast forward to May, exactly 9 years later and 1 week later to the day, my dad passed away. His health had steadily gone downhill, but I didn't know, none of us knew it was that bad, and we weren't prepared for him to go so quickly. And my dad went very quickly, and it was a complete surprise, and that was difficult as well. My dad was one of my best friends, got to work beside him and learned so much from him, and I'm a lot like him because of that too. So, but missed him so much. But so with my mom passing away, my dad passing away, of course, you have the week that you prepare for funerals, and I'm a retired minister, so I'm a minister type. So my job is just to minister to people. Minister to people, make sure everybody's okay, make sure things happen the way they're supposed to, take care of my two sisters, my family, my extended family, make sure everything's okay. But I didn't grieve at all. And so that was really, really hard. And God really spoke to me and helped me through that. And again, you know, when the funeral's all over, now what? So the only thing I could do, again, just go to God. Just go to God and pray and say, God, help me. And to help me get through this. And He did. Drew me in close. And every time I've gone to God and asked Him for help when I go through these seasons of grief or times of grief, He draws me close and He says, I'm here for you, and draws me in and gives me rest to know that I can't do it without Him. I've tried to do that and it doesn't work. You can't do it without Him, and God's got it, so we got to give it to Him. So, but every time I've prayed, many times God's given me scripture, and here's three that I wanted to share with you that He's given to me. The first one's Psalm 34:18, and this was directly right after my dad passed away. Said, so the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Another one that He gave to me is James 4:8. Come near to God and He will come near to you. And then Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's what God's been to me. He has given me rest, and he's made that burden light. And about 2 weeks ago, it had been weeks, months, maybe even a year or so before I'd even had any kind of a wave of grief come over me or anything like that. But about 2 weeks ago, it hit me. A huge wave of grief, just really missing my parents. And I shared that with our elders as we met in a prayer meeting, just, you know, shared that with them. Had no idea, you know, when it happened, like, God, what are you doing with this? Why now? It's been so long. Why now? Had no idea what God was going to do with it, but God knew. And he even worked it out for it to be today. It's the reason why I guess I'm talking about today is because of that. But even better than that, we through this prayer series in our Connect group 1 week, we were talking about how when we pray to God, it helps our relationship with God. We grow so much closer to him and with him, and we're blessed because of that. And I believe that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Well, this last Wednesday, there's a young man who's a firefighter in Fate, and he also hangs Christmas lights. I got Christmas lights already on my house. I'm one of those guys. So he came, and his mom had just recently passed away. This young man used to be in my youth group when I was in Decatur, and his mom had recently passed away. And so then I knew why God had allowed me to go through that grief and, again, to reconnect with him and draw close to him, because he allowed me to share my testimony going through the loss of my mom and my dad with him as he was struggling with the same thing. So a great blessing, and God has just given me so much comfort through that. So.
Amen. Thank you, Ron. Thanks for sharing that with us. So James Howard's over here on my left. James, I'd love for you to share some of your story. You know, the last couple of years, you've been through it, and that's really impacted your prayer life and just your relationship with Christ. So share with us a little bit about that, if you would.
January 20th, 2022 is really when my life changed. I've been an educator, or have been an educator my entire life, and I had a severe head injury that happened at work. And from that head injury, I had a major concussion, and it set off migraines and a whole bunch of different things that kind of happened over the course of the next couple of years. And so the first couple of weeks when you have a head injury, they tell you just sit in a dark room, which was actually pretty cool because it was like a vacation. I went upstairs, I went in the TV room, no one bothered me, they brought me food. It was really a pretty cool thing. But as those weeks turned into months, things started to happen. You know, when you get to, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, there's only so much you can do in a room by yourself. And so what I did is I really started praying. I realized that the one person that I communicate with is God. And so I set up a prayer list, and I started praying for people. And I learned something, and it was amazing. I learned that I had known who God was my entire life, but I didn't have a relationship with God until everything was taken from me. Until you're sitting in a room and you really don't have access to people, you don't have access. I couldn't drive. I couldn't, you know, go to the store and get something to eat. I realized that the only thing that I had was my relationship with God. And so we got to be really close. And we started talking and we started communicating. And I started to feel a closeness and a presence with God that I'd never felt before. As those months started to drag out, frustration, anxiety, I guess depression started to set in. And I remember that my beautiful wife gave me the most wonderful gift in the world, Audible. And she said, "You got to get out of this room. You got to start exercising." And I said, "But I have a head injury and my leg doesn't work." Because it didn't, my left leg didn't work, so I drug it for almost 2 years. And she said, "Well, you're going to start walking." And I said, "I can't." She said, "But you will." And so I started walking around my neighborhood, and I started praying. And I was walking, and I was praying, I was growing closer to God. Had this wonderful book that talked about Paul, and talked about Paul and the thorn in his side. And I'm like, I don't want a thorn in my side. And he said, well, Paul cried out three times to have this thorn removed. And so I cried out, God, I don't want this thorn. A couple of weeks went by. And I, God, I don't want this thorn. A couple more weeks went by, and I said, God, please, if it's in your will, please take this. I don't want this thorn. I had no idea that the answer to prayer was going to be an experimental surgery that actually, I like to call it the pacemaker for my brain. I had it inserted into my brain that gives me an electric stimulus that actually keeps the migraine from getting to the part of the brain that has the symptoms. So the migraine's still there, but I don't have the symptoms. That relationship with God became so strong and so powerful. But it's all good when everything works out, right? Last week, my wife got a call that said that her mammogram, they found a spot on her mammogram. And all of a sudden, that changed from, hey, God, we're so close, we're buddies, you saw me through this, to, God, did you make this happen so that we were going to go through this next phase? I immediately got on the phone. I started texting Blake and Sean and the prayer warriors that had seen me through this. And we prayed. I want to tell you that we got to the doctor on Wednesday. The doctor did her exam and said, you know what? What we saw is not there. Go home. We'll see you in a year. I'm telling you, prayer works. Prayer is powerful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, James. Rick Hoff is on the end there. And Rick, I want to ask you to speak a little bit into just what prayer looks like. I know you're retired. Schedule is still quite busy, but a little bit, you know, you have some flexibility there. What does it look like for you to pray? And, you know, just how has that impacted you in this stage of your life?
All right. Am I on? Yeah. Okay. So first I want to dispel the rumor that retired people sit around on a couch eating Cheetos and watching reruns of I Love Lucy. My calendar is fuller now than when I was working. 3 days a week I play tennis. Matter of fact, my tennis team won the 65 and over division in Dallas, and we're playing in the state tournament next week. I go to the gym twice a week with a friend of mine that I've known for 50 years. And on Saturdays, Kathy and I take a walk together, so I still stay fairly active. I saw an article recently in Decision Magazine written by Dr. Kenneth Cooper of the Cooper Clinic fame. He's 93 now, and he said, the best medicine is motion. The best medicine is motion. So I'm telling that to all of my seniors and to everybody in this room. Stay active. I pray throughout the day several times. I begin my morning by making a cup of coffee and going out and saying good morning to God. And that's where my first prayer, my first encounter with God of the day begins. I thank him for a good night's rest. I pray that his Holy Spirit will fill me with the love, the peace, and grace of Christ that I might show it to others. And I ask that it begins with Kathy. That's my wife of 55 years. Sometimes I'm not as patient with her as I should be, so that's why I say, let it begin with Kathy. Then I additionally pray that I might walk upright before him, that I might bring glory and honor to his name, that he would use me during that day to show the love of Christ and to share the hope that lies within with me, in me with others. I go indoors and continue my time of quiet time. I like to listen to praise music. That always puts me in the right atmosphere to read scripture and to pray. So I listen to praise music, and then I read a passage of scripture. Sometimes it's a psalm. I love reading psalms. And something interesting has happened in that regard. I have electric electronic Bible, and so oftentimes when I read scripture, I take notes and put those in my electronic Bible, as well as Pastor Blake's sermons. I've got a lot of great notes here. But what occurred to me is that often the Psalms are meant to be prayed back to God. And so let me give you an example. This is from Psalm 63, which begins, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." So I began to talk to my Heavenly Father. And I asked some tough questions of myself. Father, do I earnestly seek you? Do I thirst for you? Do I act as though my whole life longs for you? This is a powerful thing to do that I've just learned. Pray scripture back to the Lord. Don't just take notes. Let the Holy Spirit cause you to pray back to God. It's powerful. Then I have continued my time of prayer. I have prayer cards. I know Blake's got into that habit as well. I have prayer cards for several different areas, one of which you want to know is for prayers for the church. Every week we get a list of prayer requests through Sonal, and that's one of the cards that I use to pray through those prayer requests. Kathy and I take turns praying at every meal, especially at breakfast, because we've each had our quiet time separately, and now we come together and have breakfast, and we'll talk to one another about what God taught us during our quiet time. That's very encouraging to share that with your spouse. Then I pray throughout the day as God brings people to mind. Oftentimes it's those same prayer requests that I had on the prayer card that morning. God will bring one of those people to my mind, and I'll pray for that person at that point in time. And then before bedtime, Kathy and I go through a devotional by Alistair Begg. He's a famous author and preacher. And so one of us will read that devotional, the other will read the scripture passage associated with that, and then pray. And that's how we end the day. So I start the day with prayer, go out with my cup of coffee to say good morning to God, and I end it with my wife, and we go through a devotional and pray together. So a few more thoughts on prayer. Don't make prayer an ordeal. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together in order to pray. Praying is just talking to Jesus. Matter of fact, there's a great song out there that I love called Talking to Jesus by Elevation Worship. I'd encourage you to listen to it. But let me just share a couple of the stanzas. There's no wrong way to do it. There's no bad time to start. It don't have to sound pretty. Just tell them what's on your heart. Because it's not a religion, because it's more like a friendship. Just talk to your Father like you are his kid. Now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. Finally, do you all have 7 minutes during your busy day? In 1882 at Cambridge University, there was a group of young men, followers of Christ, whose days were loaded with studies, lectures, bull sessions, etc. And they found that a crack in their spiritual armor was beginning to form. They weren't spending time with their Heavenly Father. So they committed to God and to one another that they would spend the 7 minutes of each day, they called it the morning watch, with the God, with the Lord. And this is how they divided up that 7 minutes. A half minute praying for guidance from the Holy Spirit, 4 minutes reading the Bible, and 2.5 minutes in prayer using adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, often called the ACTS acronym. If you feel stressed and don't feel that you have time, I would encourage you to Google this phrase, 7 minutes with God. That happened at an important time in my life in my mid-40s. I was so busy that I came across this article. That 7 minutes became 10, which became 15. And I started, as I would run in the morning or lift weights, that become a really special prayer time. So like the old Nike commercial says, just do it. Just do it.
Amen. Well said. So we just want to encourage you. Just do it. Just pray. Can we say thank you to these guys for being with us today? Thank you guys so much. Awesome. Thank you. So as we prepare, just kind of to wrap things up here, I just want to encourage you, if something's on your heart today, I'm going to ask our elders to be available in the Next Step Center right out there. So on your way out today, you can catch them and just, you know, pray with them or share with them if something really touched you. But I also want to say this, you know, we've heard a lot about relationship. Prayer is about communicating with our Father. That means that we have to be adopted into God's family. So if you've not taken that step yet of responding in faith to what Christ has done, he gave his life for us as a payment for our sins so that we could be forgiven. The only way for us to enter a relationship with God is through forgiveness. He offers that to every one of us because of what Christ has done. In order for us to be adopted into God's family, we simply need to confess that we're sinful and say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm giving my heart to you. I would urge you to do that today if you haven't already. If you have any questions at all about that, please come and see us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much just for the time to sit in your presence, the time to reflect on how you invite us into relationship, into communication with you. And my prayer is that we will do that, Lord, that we will be people of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.